Chapter 2 of The Colors of Space. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Ana Sofia Simão de Portugal. The Colors of Space by Marion Zimmer Bradley. Chapter 2. For a moment, pulled off balance in the fat stranger's hug, Bart remained perfectly still, while the man repeated in that loud, jovial voice, "How you've grown!" He let him go, stepping away a pace or two, and whispered urgently, "Say something, and take that stupid look off your face!" As he stepped back, Bart saw his eyes. In the chubby, good-natured red face, the stranger's eyes were half mad with fear. In a split second, Bart remembered the two Lhari and their talk of a fugitive. In that moment, Bart still grew up. He stepped toward the man and took him quickly by the shoulders. "Dad, you sure surprised me," he said, trying to keep his voice from shaking. "Been such a long time, I'd have forgotten what you looked like. Have a good trip." "About like always." The fat man was breathing hard, but his voice sounded firm and cheerful. "Can't compare with the trip on the old Asterion, though." The Asterion was the flagship of Vega Interplanet, Rupert Steele's own ship. "How's everything?" Beads of sweat were standing out on the man's ruddy forehead, and his grip on Bart's wrist was so hard it hurt. Bart, grasping at random for something to say, gabbled, "Too bad you couldn't get to my graduation. I made third in the class of 400. The Lhari surrounded them and were closing in. The fat man took a deep breath or two, said, "Just a minute, son," and turned around. "You want something?" The tallest of the Lhari, the old one, whom Bart had seen on the escalator, looked long and hard at him. When they spoke universal, their voices were sibilant, but not nearly so unhuman. "Could we trouble you to show us your papers?" "Certainly." Nonchalantly, the fat man dug them out and handed them over. Bart saw his father's name printed across the top. The Lhari gestured to a Mentorian interpreter. "What color is this man's hair?" The Mentorian said in the Lhari language, "His hair is gray." He used universal word. There were, of course, no words for colors in the Lhari speech. "The man we seek has hair of red," said Lhari. "And he is tall, not fat." "The boy is tall and with red hair," the Mentorian volunteered, and old Lhari made a gesture of disdain. "This boy is 20 years younger than the man whose description came to us. Why did they not give us a picture or at least a name?" He turned to the other Lhari and said in their own shrill speech, "I suspected this man because he was alone, and I had seen this boy on the upper mezzanine and spoken with him. We watched him, knowing sooner or later the father would seek him. Ask him." He gestured, and the Mentorian said, "Who is this man, you?" Bart gulped. For the first time, he noted the energon ray shockers at the belts of the four Lhari. He'd heard about those. They could stun, or they could kill, and quite horribly. He said, "This is my father. You want my cards, too?" He held out his identity papers. "My name is Bart Steele." The Lhari, with a gesture of disgust, handed them back. "Go, then, father and son," he said, not unkindly. "Let's get going, son," said the little bald man. His hand shook on Bart's, and Bart thought, If we're lucky, we can get out of the port before he faints dead away. He said, I'll get a copter. And then, feeling sorry for the stranger, gave him his hand to lean on. He didn't know whether he was worried or scared. Where was his father? Why did this man have his dad's papers? Was his father hiding in some Delary's ship? He wanted to run, to burst away from the impostor, but the guy was shaking so hard Bart couldn't just leave him standing there. If Delary got him, he was a dead duck. A copter swooped down, the pilot sniling. The little man said hoarsely, No, Robocab. Bart waved the copter away, getting a dirty look from the pilot, and punched the button at the stand for one of the unmanned Robocabs. It swung down, hovered motionless. Bart boosted Fat Man in. Inside, the man collapsed on the seat, leaning back, puffing, his hand pressed hard to his chest. Don't you come before Denver, he said hoarsely. Bart obeyed automatically. Then he turned on the man. It's your game, mister. Now tell me what's going on. Where's my father? The man's eyes were half shut. He said, gasping, Don't ask me any questions for a minute. He thumbed the tablet into his mouth, and presently his breathing quieted. We're safe, for the minute. Those Delary would have cut us down. You, maybe. I haven't done anything. Look, you, Bart said in sudden rage, you owe me some explanations. For all I know, you're a criminal, and Delary have every right to chase you. Why have you got my father's papers? Did you steal them to get away from Delary? Where's my father? It's your father they were looking for, you young fool, said the man, gasping hard. Lucky they had only a description and not a name. But they've probably got that by now, uncoded. We've only confused them for a little while. But if you hadn't played along, they'd have had you watched, and when they got hold of the name Steele, they will, sooner or later. The people in the Procyon system. Where is my father? I hope I don't know, the fat man said. If he's still where I left him, he's dead. My name is Briscoe, Edmund Briscoe. Your father saved my life years ago, never mind how. The less you know, the safer you'll be for a while. His major worry just now is about you. He was afraid if he didn't turn up here, you'd take the first ship back to Vega. So he gave me his papers and sent me to warn you. Bart shook his head. It all sounds phony as can be. How do I know whether to believe you or not? His hand hovered over the Robocab controls. We're going straight to the police. If you're okay, then we'll turn you over to Delary. If you're not... You young fool, said Fat Man, with feeble violence. There's no time for all that. Ask me questions. I can prove I know your father. What was my mother's name? Oh, God, Briscoe said. I never saw her. I knew your father long before you were born. Until he told me, I never knew he'd married or had a son. I'd never have known you, except that you're the living image. He shook his head helplessly, and his breathing sounded hoarse. Bart, I'm a sick man. I'm going to die. I want to do what I came here to do, because your father saved my life once, when I was young and healthy, and gave me 20 good years before I got old and fat and sick. Win or lose, I won't live to see you hunted down like a dog, like my own son. Don't talk like that, Bart said, a creepy feeling coming over him. If you're sick, let me take you to a doctor. Briscoe did not even hear. Wait, there is something else. Your father said, Tell Bart I've gone looking for the eighth color. Bart will know what I mean. That's crazy. I don't know. He broke off, for the memory had come full-blown. He was very young, 5, 6, 7. His mother, tall and slender and very fair, was bending over a blueprint, pointing with a delicate finger at something, straightening, singing in a light, musical tone. The fuel catalyst. It's a strange color, a color you never saw anywhere. Can you think of a color that isn't red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, indigo, or some combination of them? It isn't any of the colors of the spectrum at all. The fuel is a real eighth color. And his father had used the phrase, almost adopted it. When we know what the eighth color is, we'll have the secret of the star drive, too. Briscoe saw his face change, nodded weakly. I see it means something to you. Now, will you do as I tell you? Within a couple of hours, they'll be combing the planet for you, but by that time, the ship I came in on will have taken off again. They only stop a short time here for mail, passengers, no cargo. They may get under my way again before all messages are cleared and decoded. He stopped and breathed hard. The Earth's authorities might protect you, but you'd never be able to board the Lhari ship again, and that would mean staying on Earth for the rest of your life. You've got to get away before they start comparing notes. Here. His hand went into his pockets. For your hair. It's a dye, a spray. He pressed the button on the bulb in his hand. Bart gasped, feeling cold wetness on his head. His own hand came away stained black. Keep still, Briscoe said irritably. You'll need it at the Procyon end of the run. Here. He stuck some papers into Bart's hand, then punched some buttons on the RoboCab's control. It wheeled and swerved so rapidly that Fart fell against the fat man's shoulder. Are you crazy? What are you going to do? Briscoe looked straight into Bart's eyes. In his hoarse, sick voice, he said, Bart, don't worry about me. It's all over for me, whatever happens. Just remember this. What your father is doing is worth doing, and if you start stalling, arguing, demanding explanations, you can foul up 100 people, and kill about half of them. He closed Bart's fingers roughly over the papers. The RoboCab hovered over the spaceport. Now listen to me very carefully. When I stop the cab, down below, jump out. Don't stop to say goodbye or ask questions or anything else. Just get out, walk straight through the passenger door, and straight up the ramp of the ship. Show them that ticket, and get on. Whatever happens, don't let anything stop you. Bart. Briscoe shook his shoulder. Promise. Whatever happens, you'll get on that ship. Bart swallowed, feeling as if he'd been shoved into a silly cops and robbers game. But Briscoe's urgency had convinced him. Where am I going? All I have is a name, Raynor 3, Briscoe said, and message about your eighth color. That's all I know. His mouth twisted again in that painful gasp. The cab swooped down. Bart found his voice. But what then? Is that there? Will I know? I don't know any more than I've told you, Briscoe said. Abruptly, the RoboCab came to a halt, swaying a little. Briscoe jerked the door open, gave Bart a push, and Bart found himself stumbling out of the ramp beside the spaceport building. He caught his balance, looked around, and realized that the RoboCab was already climbing the sky again. Immediately before him, neon letters spelled, "To passenger entrance only." Bart stumbled forward. The Lhari by the gate thrust out the disinterested claw. Bart held up what Briscoe had shoved into his hand, only now seeing that it was a thin wallet, a set of identity papers, and a strip of pink tickets. Procyon Alpha. Corridor B, straight through. The lorry gestured, and Bart went through the narrow passageway, came out at the other end, and found himself at the very base of a curving stair that led up and up toward the door inside of the huge lorry ship. Bart hesitated. In another minute, he'd be on his way to a strange sun and a strange world, on what might well be the wild goose chase of all time. Passengers were crowding the steps behind him. Someone shouted suddenly, "Look at that!" And someone else yelled, "Is that guy crazy?" Bart looked up. A robocab was swooping over the spaceport in wild, crazy circles, dipping down, suddenly making a dart like an enraged wasp at the little nest of lorry. They ducked and scattered. The robocab swerved away, hovered, swooped back. This time it struck one of the lorry grazingly with landing gear and knocked him sprawling. Bart stood with his mouth open, as if paralyzed. Briscoe, what was he doing? The fallen lorry lay without moving. The robocab moved it again, as if for the kill, buzzing viciously overhead. Then a beam of light harsed from one of the drawn energon ray tubes. The robocab glowed briefly red, then seemed to sag, sink together. Then puddled, a slag heap of molten metal, on the glassy floor of the port. A little moan of horror came from the crowd, and Bart felt a sudden, wrenching sickness. It had been like a game, a silly game of cops and robbers, and suddenly it was as serious as melted death lying there on spaceport. Briscoe! Someone shoved him and said, "Come on, quit gawking, kid. They won't hold ship all day just because some nut finds a new way to commit suicide." Bart, his legs numb, walked up the ramp. Briscoe had died to give him this chance. Now it was up to him to make it worth having. End of chapter 2.